You might notice that today's episode is a bit different to our usual format, and that's because we travelled up to Manchester to Sound and Colour Films to record these in person. That means if you're on Spotify, not only can you listen to the show, but you can also watch along. I'm afraid that is only available on Spotify, so if you're on another streaming platform, why not hop over there and watch too? Enjoy the show.
They have a lot of legacy sitting behind them, things that have been functioning for the last three decades that they struggled to get out of. And with something like payments, you're always on. Like you said earlier, you know, you can't, if something goes wrong, you're headline news.
Welcome to today's Tech Talks. My name is David Savage and I'm joined by Samitha, the UK Payments Director at PwC. Now, we all expect payments to work and by and large they do. But what is the future of payments and perhaps what might be possible if we weren't so wedded to our cards? Samitha, thank you for sitting down and talking to me today. A native of Manchester, you've not had to come too far?
No, I haven't. And thank you for having me. It's only a short drive. And I must say, I'm very glad it's up here in the north.
Well, look, it's great of you to take some time out of your day to sit down with us. You're Director of Payments for the UK at PwC. PwC are one of those brands that people are familiar with, but probably in different contexts, right? And most people will be kind of thinking, top four accountancy. Yep, I know who they are. But should we just maybe recontextualize that to make sure that people understand what we're talking about in terms of payments?
Yeah, definitely. So, PwC is a big brand, top four audit companies in the world. And but I sit within consulting and I sit within technology consulting. Now, that's not something you normally associate PwC with, but we do have a growing and thriving technology practice. Mm-hmm. And I sit within what we call our cloud and data transformation. So it's wide. It talks about a lot of stuff from cloud technologies to AI to all the sort of strategy that you can adopt as a technology company. And I look at payments. Now, payments is a essential part of everything we do in our day-to-day lives. Yeah. A payment is, you know, it could be something as small as you're paying for a bill or your salary at the end of every month or things you get through and in and out of your bank account. So everything is a payment. And payment services providers are constantly changing and transforming their businesses. And this is where I come in as one of our payments leaders, looking at and helping the financial services companies on how they transform their payments industry, their payments landscape, the technology, how do they innovate, provide better services for every person around here.
Just to make sure that we're totally clear, because there might be some people who are listening who are still like, payments, I kind of get it. But when we're talking about those fintechs, are we talking about the types of organizations like a Visa, like a MasterCard, those types of organizations?
So we talk about the banks. So you've got your, you know, high street banks like NatWest or Lloyds Banking Group. So we work with them. We also work with card scheme providers like Visa, MasterCard. Mm-hmm. We work with other areas like, you know, card services like Stripe. There are a whole lot of new things like those little point of service, little things that you just do your contactless with. All of that is part of payments. And then there's the big commercial banks, corporates who make payments as well. Yeah. So it's a wide-ranging field of different companies that need to make sure payments work in the UK.
Typically speaking, payments working is something we take for granted. When those services do go down, it tends to be, it sometimes hits headline news that a service has dropped and payments aren't going through and people are struggling. But it happens fairly infrequently. What are therefore the challenges that those organizations are talking about behind closed doors on a daily basis that perhaps the average consumer is not aware of?
I think payments in the UK is very advanced. I mean, over a decade ago, we introduced faster payments and a lot of countries globally are still catching up to that kind of being able to provide real-time instant payments, which we take for granted here in the UK. But in the background of all of that kind of front-end beautiful digital innovation, we still do have a complex aging infrastructure. In the last kind of 2 years, we've been spending across the industry investing heavily on transformation, looking at how do we do things differently, how do we not just improve our kind of services and products to consumers, but actually how do we make it slick all the way through that journey, right down to making sure that we're able to settle with central banks and everything is done in a way that is seamless and what we would call technical jargon, straight through processing.
Yeah.
I.e. no one has to stop in the middle and intervene when something happens. So there's been a lot of investment in technology to make that happen front to back.
Now, it's interesting that you talk about investment in tech. My company's digital leadership report talks about the fact that I think 66% of CEOs expect their digital leaders to drive more growth out of technology. But budgets are more constricted than they were. What's going on with regards to investment in the areas that you're working, and where is that investment going? Is it still going towards cloud like it has been for the last few years, or is it beginning to go to kind of more experimental projects that can be ring-fenced?
I think there is constant investment in technology. There's also investment as a result of things like regulation driving some critical changes in infrastructure. Cloud is a big area where businesses are investing. Mm. Now, we know that we are in what I would call now the evolution of AI, almost part two. AI kicked off a few years ago and then went very quiet. But it's back again, and it feels more like a revolution rather than an evolution at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So companies are investing heavily in cloud. We recently did a survey and we had over, I think, about 2,000 respondents across the EMEA region. And despite all the investments, what we're finding is only about 16% of those organizations that responded were all in on cloud. And quite a lot quoted, you know, that they were going out for more investment into cloud in the coming next 2 years. But there is also that kind of, they're still not quite there yet. They still don't always have a very strong cloud strategy. And there's a big question of, do the C-suite really understand what cloud means or what those enabling technologies mean and where they're kind of going directionally with their business and their technology strategy?
Where investment in infrastructure is concerned, are organizations piling up more and more technical debt, I suppose, as they're, you talked about transformation projects, right? Organizations are trying to get new services, new products out to market as quickly as they can. And I suppose if some organizations or some boards rather don't quite understand some of those tech, there's pressure to get products and services out to market. They want them increasingly to be cost aware, for want of a better word. Is that just exacerbating a problem of technical debt, technical legacy, that's making it harder to actually transform those businesses in a way that actually adds some value?
That is a very good question. And that's something I see every day in the industry. When I talk to customers, when I talk to our clients, that's one of the biggest problem they've got, because, you know, you've got that layer of, there's the aspiration of everything they want to do with cloud, but they have a lot of legacy sitting behind them, things that have been functioning for the last 3 decades that they struggle to get out of. And with something like payments, you're always on. Like you said earlier, you know, you can't, if something goes wrong, you're headline news.
Mm.
People can't have access to their money. They can't make their payments. It affects people's lives. So there's also that kind of reluctance to transform wholesale. But I think we're now in that kind of crossroads, that tipping point. With everything that is happening globally, we have got to stop, take a step back, and think about what is going to be the new business operating model. They need to reinvent themselves, how they think about it, how they then think about technology as that enabler for their business strategy, and what are the kind of capabilities they're going to need to support that kind of transformation. It can't really be a patch fix. I'm going to get some, you know, glue in there, some sticky tape in here. That is not going to achieve what organizations need to really get to adopt new technologies. You know, if you really want to be transformational, just having a fancy UI screen is not going to help.
Yeah. You mentioned AI a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like every single conversation at the minute has to touch on AI to a degree. But look, there are some interesting areas around it and some challenges. And I think one of the areas that's beginning to gain a little bit more air and kind of conversation at the moment is the fact that some organizations are asking for AI products to be switched off. And I suppose where payments and people's data is concerned, this might be an area that really is being thought about, because organizations are finding that data is being leaked through their own staff using services like ChatGPT. Is that something that you're hearing, and that your customers are getting slightly nervous about some of those AI services and what they might mean for their business?
You know, AI risk is something we really, really have to think about as a society. It's not something for individuals just to worry about. It's something that everybody needs to think about and worry about. You know, I'll give the example of my son. He is 6 years old. He's cracked the code on how to log on to mummy's iPhone in the few seconds it takes to lock. So I would not give him my passcode. And then I've got on the other end of the spectrum my mother, who cannot flip the camera on her smartphone when we're on a WhatsApp call. And you got different people. A lot of people don't know what AI is. They don't know what ChatGPT is. And there are people who are very savvy over those things, and they're really up to speed on what are the latest technologies, what does it mean, what are the risks that carry. And as a payments industry, because we sit within the banking world, it's a highly regulated industry, and people are very, very aware of risks. I think there is almost this sense of, we know we want to try new things, but we're really worried about the data.
Mm.
How do we, and we're very aware of the risk, especially to the points that you made around, you know, what about data leaks within their own staff? How do we manage that? It's a very risk-aware industry. And part of what, you know, we advise our customers is to really start thinking about their end-to-end enterprise data strategy. How are you, you know, how have you got your data? How are you gathering them? How are you controlling them? How are you governing them and making sure it's protected? But at the same time, it's also available to you to be able to use modern technologies. And it's hard, because as much as the banks do stuff, you also have, on the other hand, financial crime increasing. More and more people losing money to fraudsters. And they're getting smarter on how to use data as well. So I think there are a lot of risks that we've got to think and consider and balance, and see how regulations become part of the equation.
You talk there about risk and regulation. You obviously are Director of Payments in PwC in the UK, but you are a global business. Where do you see innovative solutions to some of these challenges appearing? You know, I sometimes think that I can certainly be a little bit guilty of thinking of the UK as being a leader when it comes to fintech, and then you kind of go and talk to people in other markets and go, oh, that's interesting. I didn't think that would come out of the US. They're behind us where it comes to fintech, right, and payments. Where are those interesting innovations and some of those solutions to the more challenging questions coming from?
I mean, there is innovation happening across the globe. Like you say, we are a leader. We've implemented things like real-time payments. We've got things like open banking. And as a government as well, we've just released, you know, the government's just released what's called the Future of Payments Report very recently, which talks about things we need to be doing. Where are we strong? How do we really look at the future?
Yeah.
But if I go to, say, certain other markets like India, they've got very different payment methods. They've got alternate methods. So when I go, so I'm originally from the south of India, from Chennai, lovely beaches, not as much rain. it's great. But, you know, when I go there, the first thing people ask me, so have you got GPay?
Right.
And I kind of look like deer in headlights.
I have no idea what GPay is.
It's Google Pay.
Oh, right, okay.
Right? Yeah, you go on to a little shop, and it might be, I'm talking about a cart, you know, a guy pushing, say, fruit on a cart. you'll have a little QR code and you just scan it and it just lets you make account-to-account payments. It's brilliant.
Mm.
Now, we don't have that. We are very card-centric. You know, we like to have our contactless cards. We like to have our cards in our digital wallets. Account-to-account payments is not something we really do. But those are the sort of recommendations that's now coming out of the Future of Payments report. Because if I talk about card payments, and our merchants have very limited choice as to where they go, the charges they have to pay. Everyone prefers card payments here. But, you know, there's so much of innovation we could be doing with open banking to enable some of that account-to-account payment. So there's a lot we can learn from other regions as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, my wife's involved in an amateur dramatics company and they were trying to think of how they could take payments on their bar during their shows, because that's such a money spinner for a small society. And if you're kind of thinking of community shops or, you know, local businesses, those kind of solutions, I suppose people aren't as familiar with them.
Absolutely. And since you mentioned bar, we've got in Manchester at the moment an exhibit called Frictionless Futures.
Right.
It's really exciting. It's a little grocery shop and a kind of entertainment venue where we talk about how you could go from entering the shop to exiting the shop in seamlessly and without any of your personal details being collected or any identifiable data being collected, how we could do lots of data and analytics to actually make sure we're upselling more things, understanding customer patterns, and that will help that data will help us with a lot of things. Again, deploy things like, you know, generative AI, et cetera, to help us interpret some of that data. But the greatest friction in that whole journey is 16 seconds to make a payment.
Really?
Because we still use only cards. We don't really have... we have alternate payment methods, but they aren't as mainstream as we would like it to be. And I think that's where a lot of the financial institutions, we've got UK Finance, which is like a body of all of the bankers, et cetera, coming together to say, what's the digital innovation we could be doing in that space to give people more options?
So we touched on a number of different areas throughout the course of this interview. What do you think are the top two or three takeaways that businesses should be thinking about if they're trying to overcome some of the challenges that you see on a daily basis?
So I think there are three key things I would think about.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is you've really got to think about your strategy holistically, end to end, right? What is going to be your, say, cloud strategy? What is going to be your data strategy across the organization? And the focus has to be on simplification and standardization. So, which is really looking at it as, how do you go away from having this there and that there and this thing? And actually, how do you simplify that and standardize so that your organization is set up for enabling technologies, for AI, for all the other things that's out there that makes it slicker and better and gives better customer experience? And I think the second thing I've got in that is, how do you manage your risks and regulations? So I think being overly regulated can stifle innovation to a great extent. But at the same time, we all have a moral obligation to make sure that technology is used for good. And, you know, with things like risks of AI coming in, and as you said earlier, you know, people are talking about it. How do you manage those risks throughout your organization in your decision making? And the third thing I would say is consumer duty, right? Your responsibility to all parts of society. When we talk about payments, I always talk about financial inclusion. It's such an important part because not everybody is digital savvy. Not everybody knows how to do a digital wallet or touch and go. There are people who are very reliant on cash. How do you make sure inclusion is a real part of your offering and services? And how do you make sure that you put customer at the heart of your change? I think that's kind of the three things I would say.
And as a last question, as a leader in the space, you are probably still learning all the time, I'm sure. What is the most pertinent question that you have at the moment?
I feel like every day is a school day, and I'm constantly learning. I suppose the one thing for me that's always lingering in my head is I'm an individual, and, you know, I have personal views about a lot of things, and I'm very passionate about fairness, equality, inclusion. I don't live in London, and regional inclusion is very big on my agenda. And then there is the consultant in me who's advising big businesses, who is talking about how we look at change. And sometimes that two sides of you are not necessarily in conflict, but are trying to work out how they coexist. And I think that's always a question in my mind as to how we kind of balance societal good, profits, where we want the economy to be. All of those things, I think, are very complex and complicated. And it's one that I'm always kind of mentally struggling with.
Well, look, I really appreciate you taking some time to get out of the office, to come down and spend some time with me here and have a conversation. And thank you.
No, thank you for having me. This has been great.